If you'd open your Bibles to 1 Samuel, chapter number 30. 1 Samuel, chapter number 30. And it came to pass, when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire. And had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. I've read verse 1 through 6 of 1 Samuel 30. I'd like to speak to you today, and if I were to have a subject, it would be this: sharing the spoils. Sharing the spoils. Would you pray with me right now? In the name of Jesus, God, would you touch and help me, Lord, to do your will right now and be anointed by the Holy Ghost. Let the Spirit of God flow in this house. Touch every person that's here. We love you, we honor and praise you in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Please be seated, and God bless you. Amen. In the book of 1 Samuel that I've read from this afternoon, David and his men came home to find that their town had been burned to the ground. Ziklag, we are told, had been attacked by the Amalekites, and to make matters worse, the enemies of David took David and his wife and children captive. In fact, they took their wives, they took their children, they took their livestock. They were all gone. And the Bible said when David got there and saw this, and his men saw this, that they fell on their faces weeping. They were, I guess, pretty well convinced that their loved ones had been killed in this bloody battle that had just taken place. And I read to you today from where the scripture says that they all wept until they had no more power to weep. Then we are told that David's men rose up in anger even against him. There was a spirit of anger that got a hold of them, and they picked up stones and they were blaming David for this calamity that they were facing. And yet, in spite of what David was facing, the Bible said that he encouraged himself in the Lord. Sometimes there will not be anyone else there to encourage you, and you have to encourage yourself in the Lord. Anybody ever been there? Amen. And the Bible says that when David encouraged himself in the Lord, that he called on Abiathar, the priest, and he asked him, said, "What would God have me to do in this situation?" And the scripture says that Abiathar gave David a word from the Lord and said, "Go and pursue. And you're going to bring back everything that was taken." In fact, he said to David, "There's not anything going to be lost." And so David gets his 600 men. That seems like a pretty small army, really. But he takes 600 men and he starts out in swift pursuit of the Amalekites. And when they came to the river Besor, the Bible said they found an Egyptian slave that had been wounded. And when the slave heard what they were doing, the Bible said that they asked him to take them to where the Amalekites were. And so the Bible says that 600 of David's army was there. 200 of them were not able to go forward into the lines of battle. 200 of them couldn't make it. These 200 soldiers perhaps had been weary from battle fatigue, or maybe some of them were injured, or perhaps some of them were sick. But I want to emphasize this. These 200 men that didn't go with David and his 400 that went forward, these men were not cowards. They were not cowards. But they were simply held back by circumstances. And as David prepared to move on, we're told that he talked to these 200 men that could not go forward and could not go in battle. They didn't have the strength to go to battle. And he entrusted all of their stuff. The Bible uses that word. David entrusted all of the stuff in the hands of these 200 that he was leaving behind. Perhaps there was equipment. There was utensils. There may have been weaponry of war. There was clothing and other things. But David left these 200 men behind and took these 400 soldiers to go to the Amalekites. And you know, when David and these 400 soldiers started toward the Amalekites, they were amazed at what they saw. This Egyptian had been revived. They gave him something to eat and drink, for he had not eaten or drank in 3 days. And when he was revived, he said, "I'll take you where they are. I'll take you to the Amalekites." And the scripture says that the Amalekites had raided them at Ziklag, but they didn't just stop there. The Amalekites had raided the Philistines as well and taken their spoil, the spoils of battle, the spoils of war. They had taken the spoils of Israelite people and of the Philistine people. But in the midst of that awesome scene, David's army, as they looked out over the hillside, they saw what they had come for. They had come for their wives. They had come for their children. And as David and his men drew closer to them, the Bible said they saw the Amalekites spread out up on the field. They were drinking. They were hilariously going about, carousing about, celebrating the spoils of victory, celebrating the battles they had just won. And you know, if you look at the thousands and thousands of animals that they had there, it was quite a sight. You had David's wives and all of his men, their wives, their children, all of their possessions. David and his men spread out there for an attack. He only had 400 soldiers, but the Bible says that those 400 soldiers attacked the Amalekites for one reason. We want to recover everything that you've taken. We want to recover everything that's been lost. Amen. And so the Bible tells us that the battle was bloody. It lasted for a day and a half. And when it was over, David had triumphed, just as the priest Abiathar had told him. They recovered everything. They didn't lose a single person. They didn't lose a single animal. They didn't lose any of their possession. Everything that had been lost was taken and recovered, and David and his men got it back. Amen. The only ones of the Amalekites that got away were 400 men. The Bible said they escaped on camels, but everything else they got back. They were destroyed. A great victory. victory was won that day. And after the battle and the accounting of the Israelite spoils were done, David said, I'm going to lay claim to the goods that you've taken from us, but I'm not going to stop there. I'm going to lay claim to the goods that you've taken from the Philistines. Everything that the Amalekites had taken, David reached out and laid claim on it and said, these also are mine. These are mine. And he had a specific purpose in mind. So the Bible tells us that as they returned as the conquering army, they came back to the river Besor, and the 200 soldiers that had stayed behind saw them coming with their wives and with their children. It must have been quite an amazing sight when they saw that here comes their wives, here comes their children, here comes their possession. We haven't really lost anything. The battle has been won. The victory has been taken. And everything we lost is going to come back to us. And I'll just stop here to say, if there's anything that we've lost in Pentecost through the years, we need to take it back. Amen. Some churches have lost their faith. We need to get our faith back. Some churches have lost their worship. We need to get our worship back. Some churches have lost prayer. We need to get prayer back. Some places they've lost fasting. We need to get fasting back. Some churches have lost evangelism. We need to get evangelism back. Everything that has been lost, we need to reach out and take it back. God decreed it. Let's clap our hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. You may be seated, but you know, this moment, I'm going to say, was a moment that was both sweet and bitter. The circumstances had hindered 200 men from going to battle. I want to say again, they were not cowards. They were not losers. These 200 men were not quitters. These 200 men had not gone into battle, but they were perhaps just as brave and just as qualified and just as passionate to fight the enemy as the other 400 had been. And when David and his men got back, these 200 didn't feel worthy to celebrate the victory that the other 400 had won. But David, being the man of God that he was and the leader that he was, knew what they were thinking. And he knew they were thinking, I have not earned the joy of this moment. I didn't accomplish anything. I should have been with those on the front line, but circumstances held them back. Hallelujah. And then the 400 warriors that had gone to battle, out of them, some began to murmur. They began to complain. They begin to say, these 200, they have no right here. They have no reason here. They didn't take up weapons. They didn't go out to fight. They didn't win the victory. They didn't win the battle. The Bible said that among them, there were wicked men and men of Belial. Hallelujah. And they said, we're not going to share the spoils and divide the spoils with these slothful ones that stayed behind. They didn't risk anything. They didn't accept a challenge. They didn't pay the price. And the murmuring was going on. But David had the heart of God in that moment. Hallelujah. And the Bible said that David came near to the 200 men. And when he came near to the 200 men that had stayed behind, that didn't go out to fight, but due to circumstances, they were unable to go, David came and with one gesture, he tore the barriers down. He tore the walls down. The Bible said that David came to these 200 men and he saluted them. David saluted not just the 400 that had gone out to battle, but he saluted the 200 that were not able to go. And so this afternoon, I'm going to say this in Pentecost, in the church I pastor, and probably in North Little Rock, and probably in every church that's represented here today, we have that 200 that's represented in your congregation. They may not be people that are noteworthy. They may not be people of great renown, but thank God for the 200 that stay with the stuff. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. And at that moment, I believe, with one simple gesture, that David laid down the law of the spoils. He told them, as the part is he that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarried by the stuff. They shall part alike. They shall share the benefit. They shall share the blessing. Amen. That was the law of the spoils. And David did not permit any of his army, his soldiers, that didn't go out to fight. He didn't want them to feel bad. He didn't want them to feel regret. Hallelujah. But he told the children of Israel, I will not allow this division and dissension to happen. We're going to share equally. This backup army is just as important as those that went out to the battlefront. Amen. So David said, we're going to share the spoils. So I just come this afternoon to tell you in a simple message that we've got people throughout churches represented here and all across America and around the world. Amen. You may never know their name, but God knows their name. You may not know what they accomplished, but brother, they may have stayed behind, but they stayed with the stuff, and they're there, and they're involved, and they love God, and they love the ministry, and they love their church, and they love the cause of God. Glory! Thank God for those that stay with the stuff. So when David saluted these 200 men, he was, in essence, he was saying to them, well done. He was saying to them, this victory that we just won over the Amalekites, this victory is as much yours as it is those that went out. You were useful right where you were. Now, I've been pastoring the church long enough to know, and I appreciate all of those that do the upfront jobs, but I'm going to tell you, there's some people that labor for God behind the scenes. They don't get much notoriety. They don't get much publicity. But praise God, they are invaluable to the work of God. Thank God for men and women and young people that have stayed faithful, that have loved God, that have loved the truth, that have loved their church. Glory! Somebody shout to God with me. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Amen! Amen! And so from that time forward, every king in Israel kept David's law of the spoils. It became, in fact, the Bible said it would become a law in Israel forever. The law of spoils, sharing the spoils that was gotten on that day would be a law that would be enacted over and over and over again for the children of Israel. Hallelujah. And I'd like to say this afternoon, thank God for our missionaries. I see several missionaries in this house. Thank God for our foreign missionaries. Thank God for our home missionaries. Thank God for all of those that are out there on the front line in battle, fighting and winning the victory in the name of the Lord. But the truth is that there's a lot of people here today that cannot and will not ever go to a foreign field as a missionary. The truth is there's a lot of men here that may never start from scratch, we'd say, a home missions church. Maybe various circumstances keep you where you are. I'm referring this afternoon to people that are faithful in the church. I'm referring to people that are faithful in prayer. I'm referring to people that give sacrificially. I'm referring to people that are very supportive of God's work. Hallelujah. And all of you that are faithful in where you are, here's the message from 1 Samuel 30. Hallelujah. You are the supply line to the front line in the battle. Hallelujah. You may not be on the front line, but if you're somewhere behind the scenes and you're in the supply line, you are going to share the spoils of victory with the rest of them. Praise God, praise God. I pastored a church long enough to know that a lot of the great people of the church may never come to the platform. Amen. Thank God for the musicians. Your musicians are outstanding. Your singers are outstanding. The choir is awesome. I've enjoyed all of that. We've got to have that. Thank God for singers. Thank God for musicians. Thank God for choir. Thank God for all of that. But I pastored a church long enough to know that there's going to be some good people behind the scenes that may never play music, and they may never sing a special song, and they may never lead a choir, or they may never sing in a choir. These are the unsung heroes of Pentecost. These are the unsung heroes and the unknown saints that you may never know, but God knows them. You may not know their name, but God knows their name. Hallelujah. I appreciate everybody that comes to the platform, everybody that does something that is visible or is seen. But in 56 years of pastoring, I have pastored people that have never been on that platform. But I'm going to tell you, they are valuable in the work of God. They have a great place in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And I'm here this afternoon to lift up a flag in their behalf and saying, we salute you. You may never sing a song, but you're faithful to Sunday morning. We salute you. You may never play music, but you're there Sunday night. We salute you. You may not sing in the choir, but you're there every Bible study. We salute you. God bless you. You're the strength of the church. Somebody worship God right now. Woo! Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Let's go ahead and just praise God a little bit here. Hallelujah. You may be seated. These unsung, unknown heroes and saints of God may say to themselves, I have done nothing to merit recognition. I've done nothing to merit reward. I didn't do anything compared to what others do. Compared to others, my results were few. Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you, among those people that may not ever be known very well, there are widows, there are sick folks that are shut-ins, there are people that give sacrificially, they stand behind their pastor, They stand behind their church when it's a missions offering to be given. They may not be a missionary, but they're going to put an offering in there. They're going to support the missionary. They're going to say, I may not go in time and in person, but if I can't go in person, I'll go in purse. I'll stand behind it. I'll pray for missionaries. Thank God for the valuable saints that you may never know that are there giving strength to the body of Christ. Amen. Heard my father say years ago, he went over here into West Tennessee, past Dyersburg, Tennessee, in the West Tennessee area. And this preacher told him, he went to preach a few nights service in a church. And the pastor told him the first night on the platform, he commented to the pastor and said, you got a good church and you got some good people. Pastor said, my best soul winner has not walked in these doors in 8 years. And so he thought, well, that's amazing. He said, I'll talk to you about it later. And so they went on a couple of three nights later, they were eating. And he said, Pastor, you told me your best soul winner had not been here to church in 7 or 8 years. He said, that's right. And he said, tomorrow, I'm going to take you to meet her. So they got in the car. They went to the backside of town. They went to a little three-room shotgun-type house. Wasn't much to look at. Knocked on the door, and a feeble voice said, come in. And they walked in, and the evangelist told my father, the first thing that lady said, laying flat on her back, she'd had a stroke. She was paralyzed from her waist down. She couldn't walk. She couldn't even get up. She couldn't sit up. But the first thing she said after almost 8 years of laying there, she said, Brother, God has been good to me. That was her first words. God has been good to me. Thank God for faithful saints. Thank God for faithful saints. Churches are built on faithful saints. The work of God goes forward with faithful saints. Revival happens because of faithful saints that are there. Somebody shout hallelujah. You may be seated. That lady, the pastor began to visit and they talked, told the evangelist, he said, she can move her arms. She can't move her legs, she can't walk, she can't stand, but she moves her arms. And she asked that we would get her the telephone book. And every day they set this telephone on a stand right by her bed. She reaches out. She starts in the small town she's in, average size small town. He said she starts with A every year. Every name in that phone book, with the last name starting A on down. Then she goes to those whose names start with P and C. She goes and she calls them. And she says, I am so and so. I'm at the First Pentecostal Church. And I've got the greatest pastor in all the world. And I worship with the greatest saints in all the world. And I'd like for you to come to our church. And the pastor said, there's about 8 or 10 couples that are sitting in this church now with their children that she won to God over a telephone. She couldn't walk. She couldn't run. She couldn't go. But she did what she could. How many would like to do what you can? Hey, if you can't sing, that's all right. Do what you can. If you're not called to preach, don't worry about it. Do what you can. If you can't play music, that's right. That's good. Do what you can. Jesus said of a little woman, she hath done what she could. My, you may be seated. So that church had been blessed by a lady that hadn't walked through the doors in almost 8 years. I'm talking about the unsung heroes of Pentecost. I'm talking about the men and women and young people that you may not see on this stage. But be it known unto you, they are there. And they are workers. And they are not cowards. They're in the fight with us. They're in the battle with us. They are not cowards. Hallelujah. And when I was studying this, I thought of the American women back in World War II that maintained the home front during the Second World War. And so while their husbands and their brothers and their boyfriends were doing battle on the front line in the Pacific, in Europe, in Africa, these unnamed women manned huge assembly lines right here in America. They worked around the clock, toiling and sweating with very little reward. And the circumstances did not allow these women to go to the battlefront, but they stood by the stuff. They stood with their children. They stood for their family. They stood in support of their loved ones. And when the fruit of their labors were known, praise God, their faithful production on these assembly lines was one of the reasons that we won the war. You can't win the war by yourself. Pastor, you can't win this war by yourself. Hallelujah. There's going to be some people sitting out there. They may be over here or back here, or they may be in the balcony. I've heard preachers get up. Even in our church, I've had some to get up and they say, you folks in the balcony are probably backslid. That's the reason you're sitting in the balcony. Now, I'm not saying some people in the balcony are not backslid. I don't know. But I'm going to tell you that everybody that sits in the balcony is not backslid. Everybody that sits in the mezzanine is not backslid. You've got to sit somewhere, and everybody can't sit right up here. Everybody can't sit on the front row. So I come this afternoon to say thank God for the mezzanine crowd. Thank God for the balcony crowd. You may hate the back seat, but thank God for the people that worship on the back seat. Well, somebody clap your hands. Glory, glory. Somebody praise him, hallelujah. Somebody, you may be seated. Somebody said, I am only one, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. And what I can do and what I ought to do, by the grace of God, I will do. You may say, I don't have talent. Forget it. Do something for God. Everybody in this building can do something for the name of the Lord. Glory! Hallelujah! I said, everybody in this house can do something. If you don't sing, there's something you can do. You can pray for those that do sing. You can pray for those that do play music. You can pray for those that do sing in the choir. Glory to God. You can stand behind your pastor every once in a while, shake his hand and say, Pastor, I love you. I appreciate you. I'm with you. I'm behind you. I'm standing behind you. You've got my backing. You've got my support. Glory. Somebody praise God right now. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. You may be seated. I don't intend to go very much longer, but I was thinking of my grandmother, my mother's mother, Zora Kennan. And she lived over here in southeast Missouri where I was raised, a little town called Portageville. I think the pastor's here. And we started a church in Malden, 25 miles away. I saw Brother Young here. So thank God for these men. But my grandmother used to go to church there. She never ascended the steps of a platform. She never sang. She never played music. She never taught a Sunday school class. But I tell you what she did do. You listen. For 44 years, she never missed one service. Brother Alviar, I'm telling you the truth. Every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, they used to have Saturday night. She was there Saturday night. For 44 years, she never missed one service. Praise God. So quit complaining about what you can't do and start doing what you can do.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Until my grandmother had a stroke at 84 and she died at 94. She never went back to church after 84. But for 44 years, she never missed a service. And I know everybody can't do that, but I think some of us ought to start working on it. Now, you may be seated. I don't know how it is in North Little Rock, but in Durham, North Carolina, if you have a two-night revival, some people are going to miss half of it. They just got to miss half of it. But thank God, every pastor, and there's a lot of preachers in this house, every pastor can look out and thank God for that man and that woman and that young person. They're here Sunday morning. They're here Sunday night. They're here midweek service. Hallelujah. You know what I've come to tell you? You're going to share the spoils. You're going to have reward. You're going to be blessed. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Let me bring conclusion with this. David's law of the spoils was a precedent that Moses set in Numbers 31. And it's been called the law of first mention. During Moses' time, an army of 12,000 Israelite soldiers defeated the Midianites. Do you know what? About the same enemies they had years later is about the same ones they had then. We still got the same enemies. We're still fighting the same devil. We're still fighting the things of the world. We're still battling our own flesh. Hallelujah. I said we're still battling, but let's keep on fighting. You may say, Brother Goodall, I'm getting worried and fighting. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. My God, I feel like somebody in this building needs to receive strength from God and say, I'm going to press on. I'm going to persevere. I'm going to stay faithful. I'm going to be loyal. I'm going to be used of God. The Bible says, you may be seated, when the spoils were gathered after that battle, that Moses instructed them in Numbers 31, take the sum of the spoils that was taken and divide it into two parts. Everybody say two. Everybody say two. Two parts. He said, I want you to give half of it, half of the spoils to those that went out in the battle. And I want you to give the other half to the congregation that stayed behind. I want to share the spoils. Moses said that. David said that. And it became a law in Israel. Hallelujah. These were not two groups against each other. It's not the ones on the platform against these back here. It's not me against you or you against me. It's all of us together. We're fighting the same devil. And we got to stay faithful. Somebody shout faithful. I said we're battling the same devil. Amen. But Moses said we're going to share these spoils co-equal. We're going to give half to the warriors. And we're going to give the other half to the congregation. Those that went to battle, we're going to give half. Those that stayed by the stuff, we're going to give half. And so the Lord commanded these two groups to share equally. And I was reading on down in that chapter. There was 337,500 sheep that went to the ones that went to battle. 337,500 went to the congregation. 36,000 cattle went to the combatants. And 36,000 went to the congregation. 30,500 donkeys went to the combatants, and 30,500 went to the congregation. 16,000 captives went to the combatants, 16,000 went to the congregation. I think the picture is clear here. It was shared equally of those that went to the battle and those that stayed with the stuff. when victories are counted and won at the end, I believe that those that ably assisted the Apostle Paul will share in the same benefits. Hallelujah. There's going to be an unknown number of men and women from Antioch. You could call them forward. They stood next to Paul. These are the people that fasted. These are the people that prayed for the apostle. These are the people that laid hands on him. These are the ones that sent him out as a missionary. These are the ones that supported him with their sacrificial gifts. There was Simeon, and there was Lucius, and there was Manine, and there were the elders of the church at Antioch. I can tell you that these and other unknown saints, hallelujah, they may not be involved at the front line of the battle, glory to God, but they're going to share in the blessing. So you that are on the platform, it's time for you to shout. You that play music, it's time for you to shout. Those that don't feel like shouting, we're not going to push them away and push them aside. They're a part of us. They're part of the church. They're part of the body of Christ. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There were some of those saints that never crossed the sea with Paul. They never traveled to Macedonia. And yet, I believe in a real sense, they share in Paul's spoils. Hallelujah. Why would some unnamed saint receive an equal portion to somebody that's really involved? I believe it's part of the fact is that every soul that Paul won to God, every church that he built, every trip that he took, those people were standing behind him. They were standing beside him. God wants all of us to rejoice in whatever calling we're in. Many Christians I've seen, and I do promote bus routes, and we run 10 buses and 15 vans, and we bring folks to church, and we go to the rest homes, and we go to jails every week. We go to prisons. We're witnessing to people. Praise God. Every other day for the past 3 weeks, we baptize at least one every other day, and they've gotten the Holy Ghost, and some days more than that. Thank God for soul winning. I don't believe we ought to stop soul winning. Let's keep soul winning alive in our church. Amen. And you know what? Some of us that don't think we can do anything, we can do more than we think we can. Amen. Anybody can hand out a church tract. Anybody can hand out a church card. Since the year 2000, our church has passed out over 1.2 million church cards. Amen. Just everywhere. I was in Bojangles. In Arkansas, you don't have Bojangles, do you? Anybody know what Bojangles is? Yeah, praise God. I got some home folks here with me today. That's where you get chicken and iced tea. I stop at Bojangles every day, pick up some unsweet tea, put a little sweet and low in it, and stir it up a little bit, and go on my way. I was there, it'll be 3 weeks this coming Wednesday. I was over at the side putting a little sweet and low in my iced tea, and a man came by, and I said, "Hey, sir, how you doing?" Looks to me about 40, I'm guessing. And he said, "Fine," we got talking. And I said, "You know what? You seem like such a nice guy. I'd like to invite you to our church." He said, "Where is your church?" I said, "Just a mile and a half or less from here." Praise God. Gave him a card. He went on his way. I didn't know if I'd ever see him again. Sunday night, he was there. We got folks that are here. Sunday night, he was there. Tuesday night, I just taught a Bible study. Stood in my tracks, of all things, and taught a Bible study. At the end of it, he came up. He started walking down the aisle. I didn't even invite him to come. He said, "Preacher, I want to get baptized tonight in Jesus' name." Praise God. Anybody can do something. Everybody can do something. You're not judged by what somebody else does. You're judged by your own capabilities. You may be seated. So the following weekend, he came back. God filled him with the Holy Ghost. Got as good of experience speaking in tongues Never had it. Holy Ghost as I've ever seen in my life. And he's been coming ever since. And the next weekend, he brought a man with him. And the next service, he brought a lady with him. Hallelujah. New converts win souls. It was said a few years ago that over 85% of everybody that's won in a church are won by people that's had the Holy Ghost 6 months or less. Amen. Hey, some of us that's had it a long time, let's don't lose that fire. Let's don't lose that fervor. Let's don't lose that zeal. If you can't go, pray for us. If you can't run a bus route, that's all right. Pray for the ones that do. You can't go to a jail or prison, pray for the ones that do. Musicians, would you come to the music, please? And so, you may be seated. I talk to people, and they say, I can't be a foreign missionary. Thank God for these that are. I can't be a home missionary. I'm not able to run a bus route. I may not can get involved in the soul winning activities of the church. But if you stay home with the stuff, and you've got the right spirit, and you love God, if you walk in the spirit, you can be assured of your calling. Amen. Do you see what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12:18? But now God hath set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. Hallelujah. If you're deeply involved in the church, you've got a calling. If you're not deeply involved, you've got a calling. If you teach a Sunday school class, you've got a calling. If you don't teach a class, come on, pray for those that do. You may work in the youth department. Thank God. And if you don't work in the youth department, pray for those that do. Hallelujah. Everybody in this house has got a calling of God upon your life. Every single mom, and I pastor some, and I'm sure there's some here today, single mothers that are doing their best to work and make a living and bring their kids to church. Thank God for them. We don't want them to feel that they are second-rate citizens of the Church of Jesus Christ. If you're a business person, that's great. If you're a lawyer, that's great. If you're a doctor, that's great. If you're a salesperson, that's great. If you're a mechanic, that's great. If you're a teacher, that's great. If you work in food service, that's great. Hallelujah. Don't minimize your position. Be thankful that you are where you are and that God will help you to bloom where you're planted. Hallelujah. I read where Paul said, are everyone apostles? Are they all prophets? Are they teachers? Are they working the miracles? Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all have the gift of tongues? Do all have the interpretation of tongues? And he concludes that by saying, but covet earnestly the best gifts. When Paul mentions apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, miracles, and gifts of healing and governments and diversities of tongues in 1 Corinthians 12, that's a great chapter. But there's one word that I deliberately left out and didn't read it in that chapter. And that's one little word, helps. It says there's apostles, prophets, teachers, on down the line. But there's one word where you can tap into it and say, that's me. I can't do everything, but I can do something. I can be at my church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, weeknight. I can pray. Thank God for these people that pray. Bishop Holmes showed us those that pray. Thank God for those that come to this church and pray daily. Bishop Holmes and Pastor Holmes would tell you that is where the power and the strength of the North Little Rock First Pentecostal Church is. It's in those that fast and they pray and they give. Hallelujah. I feel his presence here this afternoon. You say, Brother Goddard, God may be calling me. I have no doubt that he is. He may not be calling you to the pulpit, but don't restrict yourself in the call of God to just preaching. I'm going to tell you, I enjoy the things I do outside the pulpit. In the pulpit is 45, 50 minutes maybe. Sunday morning, Sunday night, weeknight. But if I was home, see, this is Monday. I don't go to church on Monday afternoon very often. So this is a little different. If I was home today, I'd do exactly what I've done for the last 7 weeks. I would go to a place of business where the owner and his wife are there, and I'd take my Bible study chart in, and I'm on lesson number 8 next Monday. I told him last week, I said, I can't be here next week. I'm going to be in Arkansas, but we'll pick back up the next week. Hallelujah. I'm on the 8th week next week of teaching. I decided I don't care how old I am. Long as I can move, I can teach a Bible study. Some of you young people, you want to do something for God? Get you a Bible study chart. Let's all stand up right now. As we stand, you say, well, I want to do something great for God. Listen, if you win a soul, you're doing something great. Hallelujah. So if I was home this afternoon, being Monday, I'd do what I've done for the last 7 Mondays. I'd be teaching a home Bible study just with 2 people. And I'd enjoy every minute of it. And I don't stay there 3 hours. When I teach a Bible study, I tell them when I start, I'll be here 1 hour and that's it. You're busy and I'm busy. I'll be here 1 hour. When 60 minutes is up, I close my Bible and close the chart. And that's as far as I go. I don't care. I don't care what it is. I close it in 1 hour. Because I want to feel welcome to come back the next week. And I want to know I'm not going to stay there for 2 or 3 hours taking up their valuable time just chatting and talking. All right, who's listening? Everybody. Everybody in this church can do something. Everybody can't teach a Bible study, but some of us could. Some of us could teach a Bible study. Some people can be a bus captain. Some can be a bus worker. Some can drive a bus. Oh, hallelujah. So I'm asking you, what can you do? And in closing, think about what Jesus told his disciples. They begin their work at Jerusalem, their home city. Then they go to the uttermost parts of the earth. That tells us that the ministry of Jesus Christ has gone to the uttermost parts of the earth, has got to start in our own individual hearts. In other words, the Spirit has got to do a work in us before it can do a work through us. I heard a pastor tell a similar story to what I told a few minutes ago. He told about an amazing widow woman in his church. She had just died when I heard him talk at the age of 95. Very few people even knew her name. Very, very few knew anything about her. But he said after the funeral, he went to the home where the children were. They began to bring out some things out of a cardboard box. Not fancy. But he told the story of how that there was a cardboard box in her house, and it was in a closet filled with check stubs dating over the years. She had spent very little on herself, but the record showed that she paid her tithes faithfully, that she gave to her church sometimes $1, sometimes 2, sometimes 5, sometimes 6. But she gave her tithes. She gave her offerings. The record showed she had given to missions, world missions, for years. And so that aged grandmother, before she could die, she could say, I have no talent. I have no ministry. I can't do anything. And the answer would be, yes, you can. Yes, you can. You're important to God's kingdom. You're important to the church. You're important to the pastor. You're important to the members. And when God, in his marvelous wisdom, begins to give rewards, whatever that is or whatever, for the outstanding work that people have done, that aged grandmother is going to share in the spoils of those that went to the front line. Remember, Jesus said of the poor widow, cast in 2 mites. she hath cast in more than all the others. She has done what she could. Hallelujah. I wonder if there's somebody, this is kind of unrehearsed, off the cuff. Is there somebody here that has served in the military and you know how to salute, how to stand at attention and salute? I'm not trying to trick you. Brother Mays, you've been, hadn't you? Come up here. Brother Mays, my friend, served with us in Durham faithfully for years. Now pastoring Augusta, Georgia. Doing a great job. Glory to God. I love this man, his wife and children. They're doing a great job. I'm telling you, he was faithful in the years he was in Durham. He never missed anything. So I tell you what I'd like to do. This is unrehearsed. Brother Mays didn't know we're going to do this. Amen. I want all of those in this building that are sick. I don't mean just with a headache, but you're sick and you're not able to do a lot of things for God you'd like to do. Would you raise your hand? Brother Mays, you're sick and you can't do everything you'd like to do. Would you give them a salute? Hallelujah. I want those that are aged and you got some years on you and you're not young anymore, but you'd like to do something for God and you can't do as much as you'd like to do. Lift up your hand. Come on, don't be bashful. Brother Mays, what did David do? He saluted them. Amen. He saluted them. We give you a salute today. All of those that are, let me think, all of those that are single parents, would you raise your hand? You're trying to bring your child or children to church. Raise your hand. Don't be bashful. God bless you. Amen. Brother Mays, would you salute them? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That salute means well done. Well done. Just come over here by me. Hallelujah. What about those that may be a little crippled in your arm or legs? You don't get about as well as you used to. Would you raise your hand? Hey, this is almost a totally well congregation.
They're well, well.
This is a well congregation.
Well.
These folks don't believe in sickness.
No.
They got prayed for last night.
Yes.
They got a miracle. But how many of you are crippled in your arm or leg? And amen, I see some hands. Salute them, Brother Mays. Hallelujah. How many in this building have been told you've got some heart problems of some nature? Would you raise your hand? Come on, you've got some heart problems of some nature. Salute them, Brother Mays. How many in this building, not ashamed to raise your hand, you're a diabetic? Raise your hand. Hands are being raised all over. Hallelujah. You may not can do what you'd like to do, but salute them, Brother Mays. Glory to God. Glory to God. How many in this building have been told that you have cancer cells in your body? And if you don't mind, we're not trying to embarrass you, would you raise your hand? God's a healer. Raise your hand if you've been told. Hallelujah. I see some hands raised. Brother Mays, it'll be 3 weeks Wednesday today. 3 weeks ago today in the afternoon, I went to my doctor and she checked me over my annual physical. She said, your heart's good, blood pressure's good, all that's good. She said, Reverend, I wasn't your doctor back in the 90s. And it says here, you had colon cancer. It's in writing, I got it. And she said, did you have colon cancer? I said, yeah. She said, who operated on you? I said, Jesus. She said, who? I said, the Lord. I came to pulpit one night in our church, or saints here to tell you, I'd lost over 20 pounds. I was weak. I couldn't preach. I was feeling so weak and give out. But God spoke to me in the pulpit that night and said, I will heal you tonight. She said, Reverend, it says here you had cancer. But she said, you don't have it anymore. I left out of there praising God. What a mighty God. Woo! How many of you have never preached a sermon and you've never sung a song in church, but you want to do something for God? Raise your hand. You want to do something, anything. We're not trying to embarrass you. Brother Mays, let's salute them. Hallelujah. How many of you have ever cleaned a church building in your church, wherever? Raise your hand. Brother Mays, they're in for a salute. We salute you. You clean the church building. How many of you have ever mowed a churchyard? Raise your hand. Brother Mays, I salute those. You don't see their name in the paper. You don't see their name in the spotlight. But we salute you. And I could ask in Little Rock, and I probably wouldn't get an answer because all of the cooks and the servers are probably back there fixing for tonight. These folks fix great meals. How many folks in North Little Rock have ever worked in the kitchen or serving food? Raise your hand. You've ever served in the kitchen? Oh man, amen, over here, amen. We want to salute you. We want to salute those that mow the grass, those that clean the church, those that serve in the kitchen, those that serve food. You may not feel like you got a lot of talent, but God has got his eye upon you. The word salute just means a mark of respect that's paid to a superior by raising the hand in a prescribed manner. And so David came into the 200. And the others said, they don't deserve it. They wasn't here. They didn't earn it. So David walks in, and what does he do, Brother Mays? He salutes them. Boy, with that one salute, he tore down all the walls.
Yes, yes,
yes. Hallelujah. And said, you 200 can share with us in the spoils. Glory to God. I think we all ought to pray right now. Let's everybody lift our hands. If you'd like to be involved in your church, some way, somehow, anything, at any time, and you'll make yourself available, would you lift your hands all over this house and sing it?
Faith of that sister right now. Encourage
of Lord. They're making a difference in their church. They're making a difference in your kingdom. Come on, lift your voice and pray together right now. Come on, now why don't you lift those hands and pray for the people that's back home where you've come and gathered from. That God would strengthen every warrior. That God would build the faith of every saint. That God would strengthen the hands of every worker. Come on, would you do that? Would you lift your hands high and raise your voice loud? Do that together right now.